May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 1111. 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save. Thou canst raise the dead to life. Thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. Hymn 1111.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading first from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah, reading chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come, and to fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night, because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we laboured in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labour on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that every one put them off for washing. We now turn to the New Testament and the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. The Epistle to the Ephesians, reading chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, in heaven above, help us to come before thee now, and all teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Grant us the gift of the Holy Ghost. May real prayer be indicted as prompted from within. May we not be left to our own spirits, our own carnal minds, our own sinful thoughts. Leave us not to ourselves. Oh, we would prize the privilege of prayer, the favour and blessings of prayer, all that there is, a throne of grace, a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, a way made for sinners to come unto God, to commune with thee. And all that word, what an encouragement. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And how also a dear hymn writer once penned, thou art coming to a king, indeed the King of Kings. Large petitions with thee bring, for his strength and power are such, none can ever ask too much. As we also read, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, we do thank thee, O Lord, for the privilege of prayer, and that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But how often, Lord, through unbelief, and our shortcomings and failings and infirmities and fears, oh, we faint and we do not pray. Oh, Lord, would it please thee ever to grant us that true spirit of prayer? At all times, in every case, lead us to thy throne of grace. Be our needs, whatever they may, help and teach us what to say, to call upon thee, to take it to the Lord in prayer, or to cry mightily unto the God in heaven, for thou art the true God, the faithful, the living God. There is none like unto thee, none can be compared unto thee, almighty in the heavens, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Thou art over all, greater than all. The prayer hearing and the prayer answering God. And what a great mercy if we have proved thee personally and savingly to be our prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Oh Lord, if we have those times to remember when the Lord appeared, the Lord spake, the Lord wrought, the Lord made a way, the Lord granted those answers of peace, the Lord undertook. Ah, those precious times, those blessed times, with a psalmist we can truly say, Thou hast been my help. Oh, how I love the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. And like Manoah and his wife, to look on while the angel did wondrously. Oh, but a prayer hearing, prayer answering God sustains me under every load. And Lord, in all our troubles, afflictions, we have one to turn to, one to go to take it to the Lord in prayer, to pour out our hearts unto thee, to tell thee all our sad complaints. Oh Lord, to trust in thee, to wait upon thee, to follow thee, to obey thee, to serve thee, to know that we are amongst thy people, that we have obtained thy mercy, that we are found amongst the sheep who hear thy voice, who follow thee, such who are led and led forth by the right way. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me and teach us to do thy will. And grant, Lord, submission, resignation, to the will of God. Oh, how one prayed, and Lord, we need to echo, oh, bend my will to thine. Oh, Lord, thou art too wise to err, too good to be unkind. As for God, his way is perfect. And though Jacob may feel all these things are against me, and amongst those things, he must have felt many, many of his prayers are unanswered. But he would prove that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Oh, to trust in a wise and gracious God. Indeed, to trust in thee at all times, to pour out our hearts before thee, and to prove God is a refuge for us, our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, do remember those listening tonight in a time of trouble. It may be soul trouble, it may be providential trouble, but it's a day of their trouble. And they know that they are in trouble, in great distress. All things are dark, things are distressing, things are grievous, things are hard. Oh Lord, they tremble and fear. If they're in soul trouble, they know what it is to be a sinner. They understand something of the plague of their own heart. They know what they deserve as a sinner, the punishment. Oh, they tremble, they quake. Oh, no trouble like unto soul trouble. Oh, but Lord, cause them to turn to thy open door of mercy in Jesus alone. Oh, to look to him, to cry unto him, to plead that blood that does for sin atone. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to show them thyself and to bless them with that good hope through grace, to know their sins forgiven, their peace procured, and all to know that joy and peace in believing. Remember others who need restoring. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember those who need reviving, or like that smoking flax, like that bruised reed, like that dry and arid land, or like that plant drooping, withering. Lord, revive us again that we may rejoice in thee. Oh, grant that reviving. Oh, Lord, remember any yet dead in trespasses and in sins in nature's darkness, or in that ignorance of their state before God, awaken, quicken, call by thy grace, pluck them as branch from the burning, and teach them their need of thy great mercy. Remember any in providential trouble, those who are struggling, those who are suffering, things which have come upon them, whether gradually or suddenly, things have been turned upside down. They're now in darkness, confusion, perplexity, great fear. They wonder where the scene will end. They feel to be in a storm of trouble. Maybe those in affliction. There may be those with great matters before them, things which are too hard, too painful, too crooked, too entangled, too impossible. And Lord, they're in trouble. Bring them to thy word, not to be a hearer only, but a doer also, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. Oh, we would remember each and every one from the youngest to the eldest. Attend to every case. Supply every need. Bless each soul. Bless thy word this night. We meet around thy word. Lord, it's thy word, the word of God. Make it a living word. Cause thy voice to be heard this night. Oh, may the Holy Spirit be at work. May there be divine application of the word of God. May hearts be prepared to receive thy word. Grant the hearing of faith. Oh, do perform this night and glorify thy name. Do grant thy blessing upon the cause that sways thee. And each one bear thee, officers of the church, each church member, each one in the congregation. Oh Lord, remember each and every one and bless them, we pray. Oh Lord, help thy servants who minister from time to time. May they come as the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message and clothe thy word with divine power, unction, authority, and get to thyself all the honor, all the glory. Remember Zion. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save. Oh, what a distressing day we are living in. So much to discourage and so much to cast down, so much to grieve and so much to cause distress. Lord, have mercy. Shine upon the churches, lest they die. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Remember our land and nation. Thy judgments are abroad in the land, and so very, very, very few realize this, understand this. O Lord, the virus yet prevalent. Many being cut down and hastened into eternity. Oh, there is great fear and agitation amongst the people, and also, Lord, the effects in the land concerning the unemployment and the great fear concerning the future, how things will be. And oh, men keep looking at men, hoping in men, trusting in men. Oh, may it be ours, by the grace of God, to look to thee. Oh, to plead with thee. Lord, have mercy upon us, stay the plague, rule and overrule. Sanctify these things, that there might be those brought out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. And, oh, Lord, have mercy upon our rulers. They know not what to do, but cause them that their eyes might be upon thee. Oh, raise up such who fear thy name, to be a good influence in the land. We see so very, very few. And have mercy upon the nations of the world. Oh, much unsettledness, much agitation. Oh, Lord, ruling over all, may it be our comfort to believe that God is in control upon the throne of the whole earth. Nothing happens by chance. All events at thy command. Keep us faithful. Oh, might we be found amongst thy people who trust in thee alone, commit all unto thee and wait upon thee. Oh, Lord, we would be thankful for many mercies, many blessings, many comforts, many privileges. We have so much to be thankful for and too much we take for granted. Lord, hear our poor prayer, forgive our every sin. Make up in giving where we have failed in our asking. We bemoan our poor prayers, but hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 916. Hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee. Seal thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Hymn 916.
Seek our healing, our God.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help tonight, I direct our prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. The Epistle to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. It is especially these two words which seem to rest upon my spirit much of this week concerning the service tonight. Stand fast. Stand fast. And how the dear apostle knew by experience what it was to stand fast. Stand fast, the word literally meaning be not moved. Move not, stand fast, stand firm, stand still. But in the Lord. You see, once as Saul of Tarsus, he stood fast as a Pharisee upon vain traditions. He stood fast to that which he had learnt at the feet of Gamaliel. He stood fast upon those things which he understood in his head, and he thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was serving God, and he stood very, very fast. Oh, what great lengths he went to. What zeal he had, but not according to knowledge. How he seemed to run that career, seeking preferment, to attain a place, a position. He stood fast, but not in the Lord. He stood fast in the flesh. And the Lord, oh, in mercy to his never-dying soul, cut him down. So dealt with him, stripped him of all his own self-righteousness, all taught him what he was, a sinner, a sinner. And if you will, the Lord took away everything upon which he was standing. But then the Lord, in love and mercy to his soul, taught him what it is to stand fast in the Lord, faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There to stand fast in the Lord, in that which was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, the good Word of God. And oh, his eyes were opened. How wonderfully were his eyes opened to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, the Lord in mercy unto his soul so opened his eyes to cause him to understand the Word of God. No scripture is of any private interpretation. My dear friends, we are living in a day when there are so many professing Christians, and they all have their own so-called Bibles, all these different versions of their own private interpretations. It's a work of the devil. I'm adamant about that. It's a work of the devil. And what confusion when one so-called Bible says something, another one says something else, and another one says something else. Oh, where then is the truth? Where's the rock? Where's the foundation? It's been taken away. There is only one word of God. If you think about it, God speaking, there can only be one word of God. And we believe, I trust each one listening firmly believe that this authorization we have before us is the most faithful translation there is in the English language of the Word of God. Now, how do we know? We learned it in our head. Is it a theological knowledge? Is it an academic knowledge? Or is it through sweet experience? An experience, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Now I speak briefly to those who have heard the Lord speak through his word. It may be like the psalmist, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And the word has come, or in power, unction, authority of the Holy Ghost. It's come as a living word. The Lord has spoken to you, and by the hearing of faith you have heard his voice. And so you believe the word of God ought to be just that. It's been a word of God speaking to you, unto your soul. And you've heard his voice. I speak briefly to those of you who have that desire, that longing. Lord, speak to me. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, for companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Lord, speak to me. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Or is this your cry? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You long to hear his voice. You need to hear his voice. Oh, how you pray to hear his voice. You cannot be content until you have heard his voice. As the Lord speaks to his sheep, and the words are so clear, so emphatic, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, I believe it can also be said, my sheep long to hear my voice. Oh, may the Lord grant that grace to search the scriptures, to pray over the scriptures, or to prayerfully read the scriptures, that the Lord's voice may yet be heard. Blessed with that hearing ear and that wise and understanding heart. That prayer Eli taught Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And then are there those listening tonight, yet indifferent, unconcerned, and in a sense even worse, are you likened to the foolish virgins, satisfied with a mere profession, satisfied in merely reading the Bible to find interesting things there, maybe even doctrinal things, theological things, if you will. But there's no real concern to hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord in love and mercy to your soul so awaken and bring you into that great need to hear his voice. Now, how favored we are to have the sacred scriptures. And as the apostle himself said, able to make thee wise unto salvation. No greater wisdom can there be than to be made wise unto salvation. Or whatever natural wisdom we may feel to be without. And it may be, I don't know, perhaps we may feel to be not very wise, not very clever, not very able, and do not seem to get far in any way of a career. We may look at others and they seem so able, given so much wisdom and understanding, and they feel to be so left behind. Well, let us leave all of that. May the Lord make us wise unto salvation. Only the Lord can. All to be made wise unto salvation, believing the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Stand firm, stand fast. You cannot stand fast upon sand. It's impossible. There's no real foundation. There's nothing solid. It's movable. It's dangerous, especially in areas where there is literally sinking sand. It's dangerous. And anything but the Lord Jesus Christ is dangerous to our souls. Oh, may the Lord teach us our need of him, that by faith, oh, we might be found, stood upon him. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. There is no other Saviour, no other Redeemer, no other way, no other truth, no other life, no other hope, nothing at all. You see, real religion can be brought down to two words. Jesus only. Jesus only. So stand fast in the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus Christ made himself known unto Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul, well, now the Apostle says, the life that I now live. Is it so with you? Is it so with me? The life that I now live, the life of faith, in humble dependence upon God. Those who have left this world's deceitful shore, have you, have I? Or are we yet abiding in it? You know, one can be full of religion and yet still live in this world, in the ways of the world, taken up in the things of the world. Oh, for grace to leave this world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. The children of Israel never return back to Egypt. Yes, many a times they were tempted to turn back, but they never turned back. The Lord never permitted them. Or they must learn to continue in dependence upon God. The life that I now live comes to mind Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And how solemn that sin is a pleasure. Oh, some of us look back to the days of our unregeneracy, yet dead in trespasses and in sins, all the pleasures of sin. And how we would have pursued such a way had not God so dealt with us, to course by his grace. For it's only by the grace of God any soul will choose rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God, such as the apostle himself, a classic case, choosing rather, but it was of grace, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created new creatures in Christ Jesus. So the life which I now live, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be therein. Ah, just a few, a comparative few. Many in the broad way, but few in the narrow way. And those of you familiar with Joseph Hart's hymn, On the Narrow Way, a long hymn in two parts, and in that former part, all the difficulties of the way, all the troubles, the trials, the afflictions, the losses, the distresses, the enemies, the opposition, oh, If this be, Lord, thy way, then who can hope to gain that prize such souls seek? Ah, 'tis thy almighty grace that can alone suffice. Thou givest us grace to run the race and then bestows the crown. So stand fast in the Lord. What a mercy if we have that hope that we have found in the narrow way. The Lord's people oft feel to need those confirmations that they are in the right way. They long for those evidences again and again of being a real Christian. They would assume nothing. Or that great fear of being deceived, of deceiving ourselves. When we read that the heart by nature is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, and how the Lord will teach his people this, something of the deceitfulness of their hearts. What defileth a man? Not to eat with unwashed hands, that defileth not a man, or not which goeth into a man defileth a man, but that which cometh out of a man, out of his heart proceed all manner of evil things, entering into the mind, the imaginations of the minds of man, only evil continually in the mind of those thoughts, those sinful thoughts. What an abundance of sinful thoughts. Oh, how one can be deceived, and how one can deceive themselves. And oh, are we not warned of many deceivers in the latter days? Those who seek to deceive others. Ah, how the child of God just longs for those evidences again and again. Am I made a real Christian? Is my religion real? Is I truly born again, quickened by the Spirit? Lord, if I am wrong, make me right. And if I am right, keep me right. Or in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, eternal life. So stand fast in the Lord. Oh, to stand firm in Zion's ways. To stand fast upon the word of God. What saith the scripture? The Lord Jesus, the perfect example, tempted in all points, like as we are. That is, he was really tempted. Tempted to sin. Tempted to do wrong. Tempted to disbelieve God. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Christ. Oh, at the beginning of his public ministry, so driven the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, 40 days and 40 nights, and they were real temptations. But the Lord Jesus consistently, constantly, he stood fast, never yielded to any temptation, always resisted the devil. It is written. Ever turning to the word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written. Stand fast in the Lord. And at the end of his public ministry upon this earth at Calvary, so he was tempted. Oh, if he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. But it was love to his Father and love to his people. He would not come down from the cross. He would bear his cross, if we can see it that way. Stand fast in the Lord. Oh, then may grace be given us in our pathway, in that narrow way, in the way which we must go to stand fast in the Lord. The words of the Lord Jesus just come to mind. If any man will come after me, be my disciple, let him deny self. So stand fast in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord Jesus denied himself throughout his whole life. He left the glories of heaven above to come down to this sin-cursed earth. Oh, there he came to, under the law of God, to fulfill that law on behalf of his people as he wrought out that robe of righteousness. He would also lay down his life. Oh, what he suffered, what he went through, we cannot begin to imagine, but all to believe. He denied himself. Again, there upon the cross, let him come down from the cross. And oh, the Lord Jesus, in such agonies of soul, in such pain and distress, the hiding of his Father's face, but no, he will not come down from the cross. So stand fast in the Lord. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If your and my religion is real, then we shall also deny ourselves. And oh, it may be hard. It may be difficult. We will need grace. Perhaps I should have said already, we have to learn, without me, ye can do nothing. The Lord will teach his people this lesson well. Without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, help me to deny self. Oh, that denial of self. You see, really, it's putting God first. So stand fast in the Lord. It's putting others second. So stand fast in the Lord. It's putting self last. So stand fast in the Lord. Deny himself and take up his cross. What the Lord may be pleased in his sovereign wisdom, his holy will, his pure judgments to lay upon us. So stand fast in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord has so done that which is appointed for us. Like dear Job and the things he had to pass through, the things he had to endure. So much pain, so much distress, and he needed much grace to bow to the will of God, to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. So stand fast in the Lord. Yes, without me ye can do nothing. But then also, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To stand fast in the Lord. Let us remember, like Moses said to his father-in-law Jethro, we are journeying unto the land of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Pilgrims and strangers here upon this earth. Oh, we are in this world, but we're not to be of the world. Not taken up with the ways of the world, the fashions of the world, the influence of the world, corruptions of the world, the vanities of the world. Oh, this is not our rest. It is polluted. And unlike Moab of old, the Lord's dealings with his people is to empty them from vessel to vessel, to stir up their nests continually. You see, it's to walk by faith and not by sight. So stand fast in the Lord. Let us therefore run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So stand fast in the Lord. Well, we read in Ephesians concerning Well, the weapons the Lord has given to his people. He also speaks of the enemies, the opposition. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these words, though written by the apostle nigh on 2,000 years ago, are as relevant as ever in this day in which we live, this evil day, this wicked day in which our lot has been cast. Yes, in 2020, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that is by faith, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, the temptations of the devil. All the ways of this world. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the wiles of the devil. Oh, to destroy thy soul. The devil has one aim against every child of God, and that is to destroy them, to cause them to make shipwreck of faith, to turn them right out of the way, to bring their religion to nothing. And he will war against them. You see, that's not an option. He will war against thy soul. And there will be many wiles of the devil, but the Lord has given this armor to his people. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, so stand fast or firm in the Lord. In previous generations, Satan has appeared more as a roaring lion, going around seeking whom he may devour, a ferocious lion, to persecute, to tear apart, to terrify, and a lion which may be seen. If you think of it, if you go to certain parts of Africa, wandering through those parts, and you know there's lions around, you would be terrified of meeting one, a roaring lion. And to come across one, you see it and would flee from it. And so it was in previous generations. Oh, what they suffered. But the enemy, if you will, could be easily seen. I believe in these days it's more the wiles of the devil appearing as an angel of light to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. All these things are so solemn, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I feel I've got to make this point. If Satan is not warning against your soul, there is something seriously wrong with your religion. Oh, how Satan fights against every child of God. You dear seekers, does Satan tempt you to give up? I'm sure he does. And you who love and fear the Lord, oh, you know something of the wiles of the devil. And how subtle he is. Look at him in the Garden of Eden, speaking through that serpent. Yea, hath God said, isn't that so prevalent today? Yea, hath God said, do you really believe that? Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe that to be the word of God? Yea, hath God said, and many today making a mockery of the word of God, seeking to undermine the word of God. How the Lord will teach his people to so love and fear and reverence his word, believing it to be his word, and to take that stand. Yea, to stand fast in the Lord, in the word of God. It is written. Now we could go through these various parts of the armoury of which the Lord has given to his people. But there are two really which just seem to press upon me, which I just want to briefly speak from Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, that protects the head. And Christ is the head of his people. And the Lord has promised to defend his people. Is he not the refuge? Oh, is he not the redeemer to redeem? Does he not protect and defend his people when they cry unto him? And take the helmet of salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, what a wonderful weapon is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Of course, we don't live in days when the sword is literally used as a weapon. In previous generations, it was. The sword was literally used as a weapon to fight against, to wound and to kill, to defend, which is the word of God, but the sword of the Spirit. Oh, as the Spirit may so help and influence the soul in yielding that sword, turning to the word of God, it is written. Finding some portion there, some promise there, some word there, some word upon which we may hope. Or that word, that foundation, that rock upon which we can trust and stay upon to resist the devil. To resist the, or to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then again, I know the metaphor, if you will, completely changes, but so stand fast in the Lord, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. What a weapon is prayer. Oh, if the Lord has taught us to pray, and proved himself to be our prayer hearing and prayer answering God. I speak carefully, I believe rightly, what can be achieved through prayer? So stand fast in the Lord, praying always. But do you also prove what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat? What opposition there may be, what hindrances, what distractions, what disturbances. Our lives perhaps are so busy, so full, so much to attend to. We have so little time for prayer. I believe we suffer much when there's little time for prayer. You see, it's such a weapon to so stand fast in the Lord. I must just mention, I see time is getting on. I felt led to read of Nehemiah. What a man of God he was. What a man of faith. What a man of prayer. All from the very outset in his book. So we read he heard of Jerusalem and the state of things in Jerusalem, and immediately he prayed. He turned to the Lord in prayer. He poured out his heart unto God. The Lord put into his heart, to go to Jerusalem to rebuild those walls. He stands before the earthly king. The earthly king demands to know why he was sad. So I prayed unto the God of heaven. And how many a thought it has been, if not the literal words of the prayer, but something very, very similar. Lord, help me. so stand fast in the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, help me. Then his request was given that he might return to or go to Jerusalem to rebuild those walls. And as soon as he gets there, there's Sanballat, there's Tobiah, there's Geshem, there are the enemies as if waiting for him, all the inhabitants of the land ready to withstand him, to prevent him, to turn him back, to bring it all to naught. Oh, what a man of faith Nehemiah was. What a man of prayer. I think the two go together, don't they? A man of faith, a man of prayer, a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, a child of faith, a child of prayer. The two goes together. So stand fast in the Lord. All the time you must have spent in prayer. And there was that of the practical nature. And oh, what a task it must have been to see those stones of the city, as it were, in a heap in rubble, to take from that rubble and to begin to rebuild those great walls all around Jerusalem. It must have seemed impossible, but the Lord had put it into his heart. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So stand fast in the Lord. Oh, we needed grace to begin. He needed grace to continue. You see, there is that beginning, isn't there? That's one thing. Then there's a continuing. That's another thing. Did not the Lord Jesus warn in the parable of one who began to build a house and was not able to continue? I'm just going to take a bow at a venture. I really don't know who's listening. Of course, some of the friends at Swavesy, of course, but has the Lord put it into the heart of one or another of you concerning his will, what the Lord would have you to do? And, oh, there is that of believing that the matter proceeded from the Lord. You believe it proceeds from the Lord. Now, you must venture. There is that beginning, isn't there? The Lord help me. There is that beginning. And perhaps you've seen in various ways the good hand of the Lord. And so there is that to the beginning, if you will, to begin. Know what grace we need to begin to take that step. To take that step. If you believe the Lord is in it, it doesn't matter what man says. Oh, it doesn't matter about man's opinions. If you believe it is of the Lord, and in that, you feel so dependent upon the Lord. You know that without me, you can do nothing. You know that prayer, Lord, help me. You know that prayer, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But you have good reason to believe that the Lord is in it. And you ventured, perhaps, you began. And now the Sanballats, the Tobias, the Gershams, and all of those who come out to mock, to oppose. And, oh, you need much grace now to stand fast in the Lord. To stand fast in the Lord. What just comes to mind? If God command thee, sir, then thou shalt be able. If God command thee, sir, then thou shalt be able. So stand fast in the Lord. You will also need much grace to continue. I repeat, it's one thing beginning a thing, it's another thing continuing. And as Nehemiah continued, so they set upon him time and time and time again, with every intention they had of bringing it to naught. Sorry. I'm just turning to chapter 6 and how Sanballat and Geshem sent unto Nehemiah, let us come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they fought to do me mischief. I think one thing Nehemiah was given, I really feel it's lacking today, is gracious discernment. He discerned what was of God and he discerned what was of the devil. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. And he had the Lord's honor and glory foremost, so that I cannot come down. Why should this work cease while I come in, while I leave it and come down to you? And then they try another tactic, and they send an open letter, and it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest a wall, and thou hast appointed prophets to preach at Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. He goes on to say, come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. But he replied, Nehemiah replied, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, but it be not done. Now, you see, a man of prayer. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. So stand fast in the Lord. I believe they tried another tactic and another one, being so subtle, so crafty. But all the while, Nehemiah was given that grace to so stand fast in the Lord, to follow the Lord, to obey the Lord in this great burden which the Lord had laid upon him. And if one here tonight, such a burden has been laid upon you, what grace you will need to so stand fast in the Lord. So stand fast in the Lord. Just one final thought just coming to mind, which again I felt burdened about in meditating upon this word. So stand fast in the Lord. I rather fear it's a day of compromise, isn't it? And how easily we can compromise. Where there is the tender filial fear of God in the heart, the child of God, being kept very humble and tender, would fear to do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And some of us who know through very, very painful experience of what it is both to grieve the Holy Spirit and the consequences of grieving the Holy Spirit, to cause the Lord to hide his face, withhold his blessings, turn aside. Oh, how we fear to do anything, to take any step, to say any word that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, to be kept from compromising. So stand fast in the Lord. In the day and age in which we live, a day of much compromise. And there may be natural things we may need to compromise, but not in spiritual, not in the things of God. Or may we never, ever, ever compromise the word of God to try to make it to mean something that it doesn't mean. Or to try and make it more acceptable to the flesh. Or to try and make it more in fitting with the ways of the world. Dear friends, that can never, ever be. So stand fast in the Lord. Not to turn to the left hand. Not to turn to the right hand. Not to turn to that which is legal. And not to turn to that which is liberal. So stand fast in the Lord, in the word of God, in what the Lord has revealed, in what the Lord has made known, in what we believe to be that right interpretation of Scripture. But do not interpretations belong unto God? In what the Lord has made known to our souls. Now, I know it's a hymn, but it's based upon Scripture. There's not a man that's born of God, but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way, the only way. So stand fast in the Lord, Jesus only. all believing the Lord Jesus to be the one and only Saviour, so stand fast in the Lord. And in all those things revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the pure Word of God, or may we cleave unto them by faith. It brings us back to this of faith. So stand fast in the Lord. There will be many temptations and many fears. There will be many difficulties. And oh, many times, you know, we think of our dear children, young people, and what is called peer pressure. Well, in many ways, that can continue through life. Peer pressure, various pressures to conform. Various pressures to change our minds. Various pressures to give a little ground. No, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand firm in the ways of Zion. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. The way the Lord leads his people. So stand fast in the Lord. Sorry, just one more thought is coming. I feel I must just mention it. It's rather struck me lately. As the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, so they were to follow the Lord, inasmuch as the Lord had that cloudy pillar by day, fiery pillar by night. Now, when that pillar moved and wherever it moved and whenever it moved, they were to follow. But many times it didn't move, it stayed. And they also were to stay. But every day they were to look to that pillar. And whether it be a week, a month, a year, all the while it stayed, they were to stay. Now what comes to mind is this: my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So stand fast in the Lord, waiting upon God, waiting to know and do his will, waiting for his word, waiting upon him. Or may we ever be found waiting only upon God. Well, may the Lord grant us much grace. And we will need much grace in this day and age in which we live, the ways of the world, and the things coming upon us, to so stand fast in the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Monday evening at 8 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 263. 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Hymn 263.
The grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.